Genesis chapter 29 and verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son." Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop cometh." And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, thy son's mandrakes." She said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him, and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter, and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son, as indeed he did. And that son was called Benjamin. And we will read about that on another occasion. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Now this is quite a long passage. Perhaps it makes up for the shortness of Psalm 117. But then it is merited because Jacob had quite a big family. In those days and in that culture, having multiple wives and even lesser wives or concubines was practiced. And the laws about marriage would change later, but at this time it was allowed. And yet, history proves that such multiple families were invariably troublesome and their homes unhappy homes. So let this be a lesson for us. When God provides a pattern for living, we do well to abide by it. God gave Adam Eve. He gave Abraham Sarah. He gave one wife to one husband. And all deviation from that leads to heartache and misery. We imagine, do we not, that doing what we want brings happiness and pleasure. If I can do what I want, I'll be happy. But doing what we want, because we have sin in our lives, usually brings sadness. And if you don't believe me, I suspect that you will live to prove it to be so. These four women that we have been reading about today bore 12 sons to Jacob: Leah and Rachel, Bilhah and Zilpah. Leah and Rachel were full wives. Bilhah and Zilpah were concubines, or the maidens, the maids, handmaids of Leah and Rachel, and they were given to Jacob also to bear children for him. Now, and I suspect I'm about to let the cat out the bag here, but if I say that these 12 boys became the fathers of 12 tribes arising from them, then perhaps you will begin to realize the importance of us going through all these verses today. Because the whole of the Old Testament and much of the symbolism of the New is built upon this family and what came from it, collectively known as the children of Israel. Because Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and these 12 boys became the children of Israel that we hear about so much in the Bible. But that is a story for another day. The sons of Leah were 6. That's Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar and Zebulun. And those are the names of the tribes of the children of Israel. So the father's names, or the son's names, became the names of the tribes. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and later Benjamin. That makes 8 in total. The sons of Bilhah, that was Rachel's handmaid, were Dan and Naphtali. That's 10. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, were Gad and Asher, and that makes the 12. And there was also a daughter born to Leah called Dinah. And I suspect that one girl amongst all those boys, she might have been quite a charming young lady. What we can tell from this passage is that Jacob's household, large as it was not always a happy family. There was envy, there was anger, there were threatenings, and there was shame. In the Bible, families are not trouble-free. But many times they're beset with all kinds of bitterness and jealousy. And we find that there's a very real and practical dimension to what the Bible tells us about some of these people. You know, they may have been heroes in one sense, and yet they were just clay vessels in another. Just humans of flesh and blood with all their problems, all their troubles and all their difficulties. And that led and reached even to the relationships that they had in their families. It was so in Jacob's home, and it's so in all of history. And that's simply because of sin. And that's not to say that it's just one person who is to blame for all the trouble. But because sin is in the hearts of us all, we all make life hard for one another. For 20 years living with Laban in Haran, Jacob's life was hard. And we discover that it wasn't going to get much easier after he left Haran and went back into his own land of Israel. Nevertheless, God's promise remained with Jacob, and God's promise did not fail. The land that he would inherit, and the land that these boys would inherit as the children of Israel, would indeed be his. He would return home, and the nations of the earth would be blessed in that people, and specifically in the Messiah who would come from that people, that precious seed who would come, from whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. And I've got a little question for you. Do you know which one of those 12 boys the Messiah would come from? Do you know which one of the 12 of Jacob's sons the Lord Jesus Christ would come from? Let me give you a clue. One of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he is given in the book of the Revelation, is the Lion of the House of Judah. Well, there you are. That's the answer, isn't it? Judah was the fourth son of Leah, and he would be the line both of the kings of Israel, because David was of that house, and also that son of David. Remember, Jesus was called the son of David, or David's greater son. So the Lord Jesus Christ would come from the line of Judah. So this was an important family, and this was an important time in the history of the Bible revelation. And there's a wee lesson in here for us. The lesson is that our lives are not always easy, in the same way as Jacob's life was. And sometimes we feel that rather than being easy, they're always hard. But God is faithful, and God's promises are sure and true. Jacob, through all of the difficulties of his family life and his relationships and his relationship with Laban and his work that he had to do and all the conflict that was there in his home, kept trusting God. Even through all the bad times, the depression, the threats, the bitterness, the pain, the bickering and the infighting. Because true faith endures with God's help. True faith outlives and outlasts the trials of our faith. Let me mention just a couple of things and then we'll move on. In these verses, we see great emphasis on childbearing. And no doubt that was important with an eye to the coming Messiah. Jacob had made know the secret of the promises that had been made to Abraham and to Isaac and now to Jacob as the heir of that promise. So the family would know about this, and there would be great anticipation that this special child was to come from this family. And so this emphasis in childbearing is perhaps understandable amongst these women, at least as one reason. There was this promise of the Messiah and the promise of many nations. However, it is important for us to remember that children are a gift of God. And you who are listening to me at the moment who are younger, do you realize that you are a gift to your parents from God? I know some of you are quite young, but you are a gift from God. God is the one who gives children, and sometimes God withholds children. There are no accidents when it comes to the giving of a life and the giving of a soul. And in the big and the small things of life, it is good for us to see the hand of God in them all and to learn patience when things don't go the way we want them to, perhaps in our time scale or to meet our expectations. And the second thing is this, and it's connected in a sense, but in verse 17 and in verse 22 of chapter 30, we learn that both Leah and Rachel asked the Lord for help for their problems. And we're told that the Lord hearkened to them. Do you know what that means? He heard them. He heard their prayers and he answered them. So let us learn from Leah and Rachel to take our troubles to the Lord and to ask for his help, because God loves his children in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hears and he answers our prayers. He hears and he answers our prayers. And I cannot give you better advice today, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, than to take your troubles to the Lord. Amen.